Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. Your opportunity to join a live medical talk show in progress. The phone lines are open for your questions and comments at any time at 941-206-1580 or 888-441-1580. You can also watch the broadcast. The webcast is up and streaming live video at WCCFAM.com. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Todd. Well, today we have a great show, and we're going to have a special guest on the second part of the hour. And we have some very interesting information to give you today. But first, I'd like to start off by thanking. I thought last week's show was so incredible. We had Carol Katz and Ma Ba. She is a yoga teacher and yoga philosophy and Sanskrit. And she gave a workshop on Sunday at the yoga studio, which I attended with my husband. And I have to tell you, it was wonderful. Mm. What a beautiful place in downtown Punta Gorda. Uh-huh. And and kind of a special added, there was a craft festival down there.
Oh, yes, I heard about that.
And we got the most wonderful handcrafted olive oils.
Oh.
Remember, olive oil is a good fat. Now, it still has the calories of fat, but it's a good fat. And they had olive oil with garlic, rosemary infused. Oh, my goodness. And they had pastas that are handcrafted. And everything was so delicious. You know, when they give you a sample and then they sell you something, boy, that's really hard to say no.
That's the way it works. Long ago when I was a kid, worked, I'm sure everybody remembers the Hickory Farms stores that were all over the country. And that was the hook. You came in, we gave you a sample. You could not walk out without buying.
Correct. It's true. So I want to just go over what Ma Ba was talking about. The big thing was meditation and stress. We know that stress affects your health. We spoke about this. And basically, the most important thing I felt that she said, I mean, there were many very important things, excuse me, was the fact that there is always going to be stress around us. There's internal and external stresses. And it's how we deal with that stress, and that is eventually how it's going to affect our health. We know that stress affects the body. Many people have headaches, fatigue. They have a decreased libido or interest in sex. It affects their sleep. They get gastrointestinal problems. It can also affect their mood, and they can get anxious, angry, sadness, depression, and also it can affect your behavior, where people overdrink, overuse drugs, drug abuse, overeat food, or have anger problems with outbursts. So she really stressed about meditation, and she uses the Sanskrit language, which is considered the science of vibration, which was very good. And I'm learning about that. And I just wanted to, I felt that her program is something that if you want to listen to any her program when she was on last week, let's say you missed the show last week or you want to hear it again, all the shows are archived on my website, TrianaPreventionCenter.com. So I want everybody, if you want to listen to any of the programs, please go to my website and you'll learn more. And if you want to hear any of the old shows, I think that's really important to know. Also, I have to tell you, Todd, I was, as you know, I am accepting new patients.
Yes.
And we had some new patients this week, and they said they can hear the radio show all the way in Englewood.
They should be able to.
Yeah. I did not know that. That's wonderful. I've had patients tell me they could hear it also in Venice.
Should be coverage through South Sarasota County, all the way to the beaches, in through North Lee County, in through DeSoto County, sure.
And also through, and from Cape Coral area, too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I just thought that was really, I was really thrilled to hear that. And, you know, I really get excited when I go about and I go to different places and people say, oh, I love your show and I listen to your show. And when I went to the yoga sanctuary, there was a lady who listened to the show. And because of the show, she signed up for the class, the workshop. Good. And I thought that was very nice.
Yes.
And she says, oh, I put the face with the voice.
I get that all the time. And it's usually quite a disappointment for people. But that's a different story.
I don't think so.
I always have to say that.
Oh, no, no, no. Anyways, so we have a great guest, but I do want to do one of the features we've been doing. I'm trying to introduce more in a shorter period of time. I guess that's the word for it. So we're going to do what's called the Imaging Minute. And today, the Imaging Minute will be Dr. Katzen will be coming today and will be speaking from Southwest Florida Regional Imaging. And I really want everyone to listen because it's about a new type of mammogram called breast tomosynthesis. And he's going to explain that. And I think that's really important because the pictures that the images that are made of the breast are incredible. Plus, it uses one third less radiation than a conventional mammogram, and the images are spectacular. Anyways, I'm not gonna take away his thunder. I'll let him
talk
about it. I was
gonna say, leave him a little something to say.
Yes, well, he understands all that.
Yes, he does.
So we're going to do the what body part am I?
All right.
And I try to make it cute. So this is what body part am I? So if anybody guesses the body part, please call us. Remember, this is a live show. 206-1580. And I'm encouraging people, if they want to call, and if they don't want to call, it's fine too. But listen, learn, and as I say, it could change your life. You know, I put a picture of an orchid on my Facebook page, one of my orchids. And with this cold weather, I'll tell you, my little baby, I have so many orchids in spike and in bloom. And, you know, you got to keep them nice. You can't let them get cold because it got down to I live in Punta Gorda, down to 34 degrees.
Did it?
Yes.
I know several inland areas reported many hours below freezing, so it doesn't surprise me.
It was very cold, and so the orchids are in their little house. They have a little heater and everything to
keep
them.
They don't like the cold.
No.
Oh.
And they're so beautiful. So I put a picture on the Facebook, and I've already got a lot of comments. Mm-hmm. And yes, that was a real orchid from my orchid house.
Nice.
So what body part am I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I am one of two. If you lose one of me, you can still live. I am located in the back of your belly or the abdomen in a space called the retroperitoneal space. I'm made up of a million units called nephrons, which filter the blood not only of waste, but I also affect your blood pressure and I affect your electrolytes, you know, sodium, potassium, chloride, and your fluid imbalance. And this is the giveaway. I produce a liquid that can be kind of yellow. Okay. So I don't say it, Todd. I know you already got it.
I was chomping at the bit, but I'll just hang
back. No, we want somebody to call in.
We do.
So what body part am I? And once we guess what the body part is, we'll talk a little bit more about that body part.
Okay, the numbers again, 206-1580 or 888-441-1580.
I'll give you another hint. What it produces rhymes with the word we. I'm making it too simple, right?
Yeah, don't see any phone flicker yet, so.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have to think of some more clues. Let's give everybody a chance to think about it.
Okay. Well, anyways, what body part am I? So we have some things that I really want to talk about today, which have been, I know they've been in the news, but I want to explain why it's so important. The FDA came out with a recommendation. Oh, and we got some callers.
That was a good breaking off point. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Just fine.
Is it the kidneys?
Yay! You got it.
Excellent, sir.
Thank you so much for listening.
I have a question on the kidneys.
Yes.
The last physical that I had, they did a sonogram on my kidneys, and they said I have some cysts on them. Can you tell me what cysts are, and should I be concerned about them? I will listen for your comments. Thank you very much. You have a good show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, caller. And just guess who walked into the door? Dr. Katzen, did you hear that question? The caller wanted to know about cysts on the kidneys, that he had a sonogram of his kidneys. Dr. Katzen, could you talk to us about a sonogram of the kidneys? What do we see, and what does it mean by cyst on the kidneys?
Mm-hmm. Sure. A sonogram is an ultrasound device. It's sort of like the depth finder on a boat. We put out a sound frequency, and we look for the echo return. A cyst is just a fluid-filled cavity, usually benign, but sometimes they get very large and they move the organ around, and then we can drain that cyst by just putting a small needle in it and sucking out the fluid. Most of the time, the cyst does not come back, but sometimes it does come back and it can be drained again.
But a lot of times you just leave the cyst alone too, right, yeah. Dr. Katzen?
Yes, there's nothing really to do for a cyst unless it's bothering. It's moving the organ out of the way or getting somebody feels like they have a mass.
The kidneys are so important. And we are so happy to have as a guest today Dr. Melvin Katzen from Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center. And now that you're here, do you want to talk? We were going to wait till the second part of the show, but now that you're here, you have a great announcement, don't you?
Yes, we are very excited about a new piece of equipment that's just come online. It's called a tomosynthesis device, and it's a way to do a mammogram, but it's a much different technology than the standard mammogram that we have been using. The advantages of this device are the radiation produced for a mammogram is one-third the dose of the standard digital mammogram like we normally use. In addition to that, the resolution is dramatically enhanced. The resolution is so fine that it's about four times the size of a red blood cell.
Wow.
So we can see very, very small lesions. The whole idea of this technology is to be able to detect very tiny cancers that are curable approximately 95% of the time. The technology, the best way to describe the technology is there's a very narrow X-ray beam that takes a thin slice, and during the examination, these thin slices are then put together by a computer, so it looks like it's one organ. And with the unit is in, it's operational. We have the physicist coming to calibrate it today. And in order for us to use it on patients, we have to get it certified by the federal government. Most people don't realize that the federal government controls mammography, the quality of mammography.
Right. You said you have to have a certified machine.
And a certified technologist.
And a certified doctor. Oh. So it's all governed by the federal government.
Right. There's a congressional act called the Mammography Quality Assurance Act, MQSA. And we have regular inspections by both the federal and state government to make sure that our mammography service and others. And that's pretty much standard in the industry to make sure that the quality is high.
Well, that's wonderful. Dr. Katzen, could you explain to us, because I know some people say Is this better for people who are older, who have a fatty breast? What is a fatty breast?
Well, the breast is really a bona fide sweat gland. And as we get older and people's hormones change, the glandular portion of the breast kind of shrivels up. And when that happens, we're left with just the fat that is really the majority of the breast. The advantages of this unit are not so much for the fatty breast, but for the younger breast that's very, very dense, because we increase the sensitivity dramatically. And in a recent paper published in a European journal, they found something like 40% more cancers in two separate groups of ladies using this technology versus the standard technology that's in use now that we have, that we use every day. So we hope that both, that we'll be able to do a better job of finding smaller cancers that are curable. The other very nice feature of this examination for the ladies is that it doesn't require anywhere near the compression of the breast.
The pain, the pressure part.
Yeah, right, than standard mammogram that we use now.
That is incredible. So you're going to be the first one in Charlotte County to have this incredible new technology.
The technology is not new, but I don't know of any other unit like this in our area.
Wow.
That is really wonderful. You're really at the forefront. You know, we are really lucky today to have Dr. Katzen here, who is a radiologist, board-certified radiologist. If you have any imaging and questions or radiological questions at 206-1580, please give us a call. You know, one thing about Dr. Katzen, he has so much brain wattage that any question we could ask him.
He's looking all shy now, as if you've embarrassed him.
But that is really nice.
You're too gracious.
Well, I've already volunteered. You can go ahead and image my breast.
Yeah. Well, we are going to have some volunteers, because in order for us to get the unit certified, we have to send to the American College of Radiology a fatty breast, a dense breast, a variety of different problems in the breast. So we have to, since the unit is not certified, we need to have volunteers. So we'll be calling on you.
Okay, that'll be great. I also got my mother volunteer, and maybe I can convince my sister, because such a wonderful technology. I know I saw the in Chicago, and if you look on the Facebook page that I have, I post, you know, different conferences that I go to, and I went to the Radiological Society of North America, and the pictures that they produce, these machines, are incredible.
It really is incredible, and it's if we have a dense breast now, it's sort of a conundrum. We know that the dense breast reduces the sensitivity of the conventional mammogram by almost 20%. What I mean by sensitivity is the ability to detect a cancer if it's there, or an abnormality if it's there. Whereas this unit, because of the methodology being used, shouldn't really have an impact on looking at very dense breasts. We should be able to see through the very dense breast and have a more accurate diagnostic ability, and not lose that sensitivity that somebody could bury a small cancer in the density of the breast.
So the younger patients are the ones that have the more denser breast?
Generally speaking, because they have more glandular tissue in there. And a woman who's cycling through her menstruation, through her period, the breast responds to that hormonal change.
We have a question.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
I do. Question for Dr. Katzen, please.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
I'm an elderly woman in my 90s, and how often should I have a breast screening?
Well, there is controversy amongst physicians and organizations as to how often you should have a mammogram as you get older. So what I'm going to tell you is my feeling, and I'll tell you the reason why. I think you should have a mammogram every year of your life after age 40. And the reason for that is that your risk of getting cancer increases as you get older. Most people are not aware of that.
Mm.
So that because you're having a continually increasing risk factor, the more there's no reason to stop doing mammography. Last year in our practice, we had one lady, 93 years old, who had breast cancer.
Oh.
Thank you, caller. Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, ma'am. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for calling. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It's a very good question to have asked, because a lot of people don't know that, I'm sure.
And, you know, I totally agree, too. I tell my patients, you're alive, you walk, you talk, you're doing great. You should get a mammogram once a year also. You know, some patients feel that when they're older, they don't have to worry about it. But if something could be found early and taken care of, why wait?
If you find a cancer that's less, let's say a 5 millimeters, about a, let's say a quarter of an inch or smaller, the cure rate is about 95%.
All right.
As the cancers get bigger, the cure rate goes down because, after all, in a tumor that has that's a little over 1 centimeter, maybe a third of an inch, there's almost 1 billion cells floating around.
Wow.
So with early detection being so important, why wait a couple years, 5 years, for your next mammogram?
Right, right.
Especially since even if you're older and as your risk goes up to get breast cancer, why would you want to have the end results of doing nothing, which would be, if you do nothing about a cancer, it could spread or metastasize, as we say, mm-hmm. and it could go to your brain and other parts of your body and affect your quality of life, you know, and your late on your last years. I would think that no one would want that.
Yes, I think that I agree with you. I mean, it just seems kind of ridiculous, but we do see people, unfortunately, in our practice, who just come in with a very significant sized lump, sometimes the size of a golf ball, or even bigger than that, and they haven't had any kind of examination before. I had one lady tell me I was afraid of the radiation. And that's why I didn't get a mammogram.
Wow.
But at the same time, that lady had a pretty significant sized lump, and it was just, I guess, for social or other reasons, she didn't take care of it.
I have a question, doctor. Men and breast cancer, you don't hear a lot of talk about that, but it is an issue for men too. Is this new piece of equipment useful in detecting in men?
Well, yes, but men, the men have smaller breasts. They don't have a large amount of fat around their breasts unless they're very heavy. And so when they get a cancer, it's usually easier to detect. And
okay.
And men notice it, and their wives notice it too.
Generally, it's palpable.
Yeah,
we
right,
pick up
right.
On.
And mm-hmm. That's right. The amount of glandular tissue that's in a man's breast is compacted very close to where the areola is. That's the colored part of the breast.
Mm-hmm.
The dark around area.
Right.
Where the nipple is on top of the areola.
Right.
And that's that, and in men, that's the most prominent location.
Well, that's where the glandular tissue is.
Okay.
So, you know, one of the important things that I also stress to my patients and also men patients is self-examination. I tell them when they're going to examine their breasts, don't forget to check under their arm, their axilla, or their armpits. To feel, and in men also. When I examine men, I check under the armpit. The other thing is do it on a methodical monthly basis. And in women who are menstruating, the best time to check your breast is 2 weeks after your period. Because if you check your breast right before your period, all those hormones are going to affect the breasts, correct,
well,
Dr. Katzen?
That's correct. You can pick any time you want, but that is the best time, and you should be on a regular basis. And if you find something, you just need to cool it and come back another month make sure it's still there, because a woman's breast is changing all the time. It's a very dynamic place.
All right.
Our whole bodies are so dynamic, which is really wonderful about your practice, that you do all this, the imaging. And we had a program with you, Dr. Katzen, about lung cancer. And we had a patient went and got for screening the CAT scan of her lungs. And the good thing is everything was okay.
Right.
I thought that was really nice.
Absolutely.
That you have a self-pay price for cancer screening for the lungs in order to be proactive.
Well, we
early detection.
Yeah, right. Early detection is very important. And these pieces of equipment are very expensive. And one of the problems we have in our community here is that we have a lot of facilities and we don't have a large population. So for us to be able to afford a lot of this equipment is really an economic takes some economic wizardry. Let me put it that way. And until our population gets bigger and we have more utilization, we will be struggling along those lines. But I set up the screening price for the chest CT because I thought it was really a critical examination.
It is very important. And I think we'll take our little break now, okay?
Yes.
And stay, because we have Dr. Katzen with us.
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues on News Radio 1580 WCCF. This is a live medical call-in talk show, and you're welcome to join the conversation, whether it's a question or a comment that you would like to pose. You're welcome to do so at 941-206-1580, 1580, or 888-441-1580. The program brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. I remind you also that if you'd like to look in, if you'd like to watch, there is a video webcast that accompanies this program. It's available through our website. Just go to WCCFAM.com and look on the homepage. The webcast is up and running right now if you'd like to join us with your eyes as well as your ears. And now back to your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Okay, we're back. And we have a wonderful guest, Dr. Katzen from Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center. Now, Dr. Katzen, why don't you give us your phone number in case anybody wants to go ahead and your location of your imaging center to they might want to go ahead and get their mammograms, which I totally recommend.
Okay. Our phone number is very simple. It's 637-X-ray, 637-9729. And we have two locations, one on Olympia Avenue, 329 East Olympia, and one in Port Charlotte that is right across from Kohl's on Cochrane.
All right.
And we can do a mammogram in either place, but the unit I'm talking to you about today is in Punta Gorda.
All right.
That's great. Okay, so we were going to have some things that are in the news, and now that you're here, we can talk about them. One of the things that came out was the FDA put out a warning. I think that there is a lot of people that do not realize that acetaminophen, which many people take, Tylenol, is a medication which people use. Well, they use it to get rid of their headaches. They use it for decreasing fever. But people need to know that there is a maximum dosage of acetaminophen. And it's also called, the trade name is Tylenol, in many products. And one of those products, people who have chronic pain, usually they put the pain medicine, and you'll find acetaminophen in such pain medicines as Vicodin, Percocet, and other pain medicines. Also, you'll find acetaminophen in over-the-counter cough cold medicines and other ingredients such as over-the-counter pain relievers. Well, it's very important for everyone to understand that there is where you can get an overdose of this medication. Number one, you should not combine different medications without reading the label. it's recommended that no more than 4,000 milligrams or 4 grams of acetaminophen should be taken in a day. Now, I want to everyone to understand, why is this? Because it can literally cause liver failure. It can kill your liver. Now, Dr. Katzen, you can talk to us about different ways that we can look at the liver, imaging of the liver, but I think it's very important for people to know that there is a danger in overdosing with acetaminophen. Also, you know, just because something is over the counter does not mean that you don't need to know what you're putting in your mouth. So if you're taking a cough cold medication, know that Tylenol or acetaminophen can interact with alcohol. Do not drink alcohol and take these medications. Also, if you are on any seizure medications, they can interact with acetaminophen. The liver is a very important organ. So, Dr. Katzen, tell us different ways that we can image the liver or look at the liver.
Well, we can look at the liver using a lot of different modalities. Probably the most common thing that we do is with the ultrasound machine. The ultrasound machine puts out a high-frequency sound wave, and we look for the echoes coming from the liver. When the liver is injured, the quality of the echo changes, and in particular, if somebody overconsumes things like alcohol on a regular basis, it's pretty obvious that the liver changes and becomes incorporates more fat inside the liver, and that has a completely different echo quality than the normal liver. The other thing we can do in the liver, of course, is see if there's any mass lesions in there or any abscesses. And we can also look at the gallbladder and see if there are any stones there. We can also see the liver on CT scan, on MRI, and almost any other modality that looks at the abdomen gives you some information about the liver.
That's very important to know because many times, you know, I explain to patients, an ultrasound, I think the average person may not know, ultrasound does not use radiation.
No, ultrasound does not use radiation any more than the depth finder in your boat
right.
would use radiation. It's a spin-off of the wartime development of sonar, which was a sound wave that was put into the water. And it's very interesting that sound travels through water much faster than it does through air, and for longer distances too. So how do we get the sound from the holder or transducer that we use to your body? And the way we do that is with a sound conducting gel. If we just put the sound probe on your skin, it may not. We may not get enough signal to hear anything. So we use a sterile gel. And we image through that gel.
Hmm. Interesting.
So it's very important to know that acetaminophen, of the overdoses, 50% of them are accidental. People do not look at the labels. They're not reading. They don't realize. They think, you know, it's safe. It's over the counter. Realize that there is a limit of how much. So the FDA wants to make that no pill that has a combined have more than 325 milligrams of acetaminophen. So we want everyone to know that liver injury, liver failure is the ultimate outcome of overdosing.
That's only 12 tablets.
Yes, and that's very important to know that if you feel you have overdose, there is an 800 number in the United States. I think we've said this before. It's called Poison Control. They're available 24/7. And the number is 1-800-222-1222. This is a service put out by the government. It's free. It's 24/7. If you, it's called Poison Control. If you feel like you've ingested, excuse me, any type of poison, you can call them.
That's a very useful number, especially for families, because kids will drink anything or put anything in their mouth, and they're very helpful if you call them.
I think in a lot of cases for adults too, there are so many products over the counter that are combined. It's an all-in-one flu or cold remedy. People reach for that liquid and take it, thinking it's going to get rid of their sore throat and their fever, and not really look at what the ingredients are. So sometimes it's kind of hidden. It's not really hidden, I guess. We just don't look.
People don't look. And for example, I have patients who come in and they'll bring like a bottle of a supplement. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, you know, I was told by a friend that this will lower my cholesterol. It's mm-hmm. a supplement. Well, when I look at the ingredients, I said, well, that's because if you read each ingredient, and some of the ingredients basically are, I have no idea what they are. Mm-hmm. I have to look it up. But some of them, for example, will say red yeast rice, which we know is a very low dose statin medication in a fungus, which we've discussed before. But I think the whole idea, one of the reasons I have this program is not only do I want people to have know, I want them to understand more about their health so that they can be on the lookout, so they can know what they're doing, and they also can ask questions. So another information came out, which was a study, which I think it's very important now that we have you here, Dr. Katzen, about alcohol. So we just went through the holidays. Everybody's cheering, enjoying, you know.
Lots of toasting.
Toasting, mm-hmm. The partying. And in our society, many people drink. So there was a whole study, and it was in England. It was done with 5,000 men and 2,000 women. Now, alcohol, it was alcohol and brain function. This study was done over a period of over 10 years. So they're trying to correlate heavy alcohol consumption. Now, what is considered heavy alcohol consumption? In this study, it was 3 12-ounce beers per day or 3 glasses of wine or 3 shots of liquor on a daily basis. Now, each person was asked about their consumption over a 10-year period, but they also did over past the 10-year period, they did a cognitive functioning test. Well, what is cognition? How does your brain think? So they noted that alcohol over a long period of time will decrease the function in your brain.
Yes, we've known that here in this country for a long time. And we've also known that it takes a little bit longer to get rid of the alcohol. That's why for pilots, for instance, they have a rule 24 hours bottle of the throttle.
Oh, I've heard that before.
It used to be 12 hours, and the FAA extended it to 24 hours some years ago.
And you hear that, too, with the, you know, in some of the European train accidents, you've heard people, you know, they ran off the track or they were going too fast, that maybe they were either didn't get enough sleep or were maybe under the influence of something they ingested, not, you know, within a 12-hour period.
Right.
So we know that the alcohol long-term, now we're talking about everyday usage does affect the brain function. And I think that's really important to know. If someone you know has decreased brain function, well, I would try to counsel them to try to cut back their alcohol intake.
Right. Well, the problem with the whole situation is once you get the decreased cognitive function, you can't reverse it.
Mm, I was going to ask that.
You know, you can make it a little bit better by eliminating the alcohol and continuing the deterioration, But wherever you happen to be at the time you decide to intervene is where you are.
Right. It doesn't go back.
Yeah,
are there tests to be able to tell the level of damage that might have been done?
Well, there's a cognitive test, certain tests that we do, like the mini mental status exam. It's a test that we do where we ask certain questions to check the person's mental agility. If they can, you know, they have to draw a clock, they do numbers, repetitions. But what about the PET scanning?
Well, PET scanning is useful. PET scanning is a is a nuclear medicine type test where we give a injection of a sugar molecule and attached to that sugar molecule is a radioactive molecule that we can see where the sugar goes, and the cerebral cortex, the line, the very edge of your brain is where all your mental intellectual function is. And we can see, after we administer this radioactive sugar, we can see the areas of the brain that accumulate and have normal metabolic activity, and some areas of the brain that don't. For instance, in Alzheimer's, we know that there's a specific area of the brain that is not functioning. And so the PET scan can be helpful. But alcoholic deterioration is usually a diffuse deterioration of the brain and involves not only the cerebral cortex, but the integrative aspects of the brain that control muscle movement and coordination and things of that sort.
I think that's very important to know. And the takeaway message, again, is that everything we put in our mouths, alcohol, medications over the counter, can affect us. And I think the important thing is to understand how they can affect us, how much can we take in, and how that can interact with other medications or foods that we take. Correct?
Correct. that's very important. So I think the over-counter, we talked about the over-the-counter medicines. A lot of times an over-counter medicine has a variety of different ingredients because each ingredient is the amount of any one ingredient is usually limited because it is over-the-counter. So you may have a little bit of a potent drug and a little bit of this potent drug and a little bit of that potent drug and put it all together to increase the potency. And you can take that because then you have a potent drug, you can take too much.
Correct. That's why there are a lot of people who may be on chronic pain pills, and then they decide, you know, I'm getting a fever, let me take some Tylenol. Or they get a cold, and they take an over-the-counter, and it has acetaminophen Tylenol in it, and not realize it. A lot of the over-the-counter medicines, too, may have ibuprofen or aspirin. For example, if a person is on a baby aspirin a day to help protect their heart, and then they go and take maybe an Alka-Seltzer Plus and then take an aspirin for something else, then it can irritate their stomach. Or if they take ibuprofen, which is Advil, or they could take Aleve, which is naproxen, and all these medications together can combine. Which is why I tell patients and I ask them, please bring me everything you take, whether it be a supplement, over-the-counter medication, or any medicines that you get from other doctors, and everything that's been prescribed. Then we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Question for you. According to the new study, how many extra strength Tylenols would one be able to take on any given day?
Well, I would thank you for calling, caller. The extra strength Tylenol has 500 milligrams of acetaminophen, so you cannot have more than
eight.
More than eight in a day. So again, if you were to take eight in a day, and let's say you had two or three cocktails because you went out with your friends, your buddies, or your wife or spouse, remember, this is going to affect the liver. The acetaminophen affects the hepatocytes. Those are the liver, the cells in the liver. So if it hurts them, and then at the same time you're bringing in other ingredients like alcohol, then you can hurt your liver. Dr. Katzen, did you want to make a comment?
Oh, no, that's correct. Exactly what you said. The liver is a very important organ. It's a metabolic factory.
And that's very important.
And it's also the detoxification factory. We take something in that's not good. The job of the liver is to neutralize the bad effect and to eliminate toxic agents.
What about products that combine, over-the-counter products I'm talking about, that combine aspirin or ibuprofen and Tylenol? I'm thinking specifically because I'll take some Excedrin sometimes for a headache, and that's got acetaminophen, aspirin, and caffeine in it. Are they generally considered safe as long as you're aware that that's in there?
Oh, aware that's in there, know that it's in there. Yes, they're safe. It's okay. The thing is, a lot of time people, those over-the-counter products have caffeine because it helps. Caffeine also will help people who have headaches or migraines.
Right, right.
So, yes, know what you're putting in. Read the labels. I think that's really important. And again, know what other medicines you're prescribed and ask your doctor or your pharmacist, look, I'm taking this. Can I take this also?
Okay.
Years ago, there used to be a drug called APC, aspirin, phenacetin, and caffeine. The phenacetin turned out to be toxic to the kidneys, so it's off the market now.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there's some places in the world that are still using APCs.
Probably.
And that was sort of a staple drug for people who had a headache, had a little bit of ache or pain or whatever.
Sadly, you could probably buy it through the internet, and I wouldn't recommend you doing something like that.
Oh, I know. But again, this is part of the very important of your liver. We have just a little while more to go, and I wanted to bring up something that's very important. There was also another study about diabetics. Now, we've been speaking a lot about diabetics because we know that there is an epidemic of diabetes. And diabetes is influenced also by the fact of our diet and being overweight. But there was a lot of people that used to feel that if you were a diabetic and you were overweight, that somehow you weren't going to have a problem. And yes, and that they put that to rest because it's actually the more overweight you are, which we call that body mass index, above 35 is the more chance you're going to have complications if you're a diabetic. Hmm. Now, that's not to say that if you're very thin, because we do have people who are very thin who are also diabetics. You can get diabetes and still be thin. The whole idea, and I'm not going to have time to bring this up because I know this is not a political show, but I was going to ask if anybody had, you knew of anybody who got Obamacare, because I haven't found anybody who has been able to sign up. Have you heard anything?
Other than the same things we've all been hearing in the news, the difficulties with the website, improvements that supposedly were made.
And my feeling is that the importance about understanding and taking care of your health is early detection. Just like we spoke about the mammogram, the breast tomosynthesis, which Dr. Katzen, since we only have a few minutes, please review for us about the new breast mammogram, breast tomosynthesis.
Okay, here it is in a nutshell. This device looks like a standard mammogram. It is not a standard mammogram. The dose is one-third the dose of a standard mammogram. The resolution is increased by well over 20%, and the detection of tumors is well over 20 and 40% greater, and you don't need to compress the breast as much.
Very good.
That should eliminate the fear factor I think a lot of women have.
I think that's really important. But even a conventional mammogram, we know, Dr. Katzen, just to put everybody at ease about the radiation.
Yes. The amount of radiation that we use in the conventional mammogram is so small now, especially the digital mammograms that are used universally in our community and on all the units that are available here, is so small that you could probably have a mammogram every day of your life and not exceed the amount of radiation that we allow our radiation workers, our technologists, to be exposed to in a year.
And Dr. Katzen, we also want to remind everyone, I know it's controversial, but after this, we had the caller who was in her 90s. Again, I do recommend getting a mammogram once a year, as your thoughts were the same.
Yes, it's really important because people at age 40 is pretty much the standard recommendation to have your first baseline mammogram. And after every year after that, your risk increases.
So today we want to thank Dr. Melvin Katzen from Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center and his new great technology that he's going to be incorporating for the women of Charlotte County, breast tomosynthesis mammography. And remember, everyone, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana from the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. Listen to our show every Friday, and thank you for calling in. Stay healthy.